When we hear the words, be not afraid, what do we think of? Maybe we think of a Bible verse or two, or maybe we think about the song in our hymnal by that name. Or maybe we think, well, be not afraid of what? There are so many things we could be afraid of in this world. Is it really possible to just never be afraid of anything, ever? What would we say are the most common things to be afraid of in our society today? There is, of course, simple fears, we might call them, or typical fears, we might call them. A fear of heights, let's say, a fear of snakes or a fear of spiders. There's even a common fear of going to the dentist, which some people may battle with. And, of course, there is a fear that Mr. Gore and I will try to overcome today, a fear of public speaking. There are so many things that we could say there are that we could be afraid of. I guess I could tease Mr. Bennett if he's on the webcast today. Maybe he was so afraid of public speaking he got sick today. But I know that that's not the case. I hope he is feeling better. But these things are seemingly relatively minor, some of those fears in the grand scheme of things. But what about things that are far more serious? What about the fear for our safety in today's world? What about the fear of losing our jobs? What about the fear of dying? How about fears for our economy and what the economy is going to continue to do? How about a fear for our government and the people that are leading this country and that are in office currently? How about the fear of wars all over the world, especially the increased fighting that we see between Israel and Hamas as of late? How about the fear of the moral degradation of our society? Well, those things can be very real, very powerful, much more serious than perhaps a fear of snakes or a fear of going to the dentist. So when we hear the phrase, be not afraid, you may say to yourself, well, is it really possible to not be afraid of any situation that arises? Is it really possible to not be afraid of any circumstance that may come to pass? Can I really do that in my life? Is that possible for human beings? Are we capable of overcoming all of our fears? Or are we destined to live with some amount of fear in our lives and just trying to manage it the best we can? Before we go any further, let's define the word fear and the word afraid. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or a threat to us. And being afraid is very similar. It's defined as being unwilling or reluctant to do something for the fear of the consequences. And this concept of fear or being afraid comes up throughout the pages of the Bible. We can see that the word afraid appears over 150 times, and the word fear is used over 300 times throughout the Bible. So clearly, this is an important emotion. This is a common emotion for human beings to deal with at one time or another. It's a feeling and emotion that is so common in our society today. Mark Twain had this to say about fear. Mark Twain had this to say, courage is the resistance to fear, or the mastery of fear, but not the absence of fear. Courage is the resistance to fear, the mastery of fear, but not the absence of fear. I like that quote because it's a reminder that from time to time we may feel afraid. But we don't have to let it run our lives. It doesn't have to paralyze us. We can work through fear, master our fears, and through courage we can overcome our fears. I think if we consider our human existence, fear is a human emotion that we are going to experience at some point in our lives. So the question then becomes, well, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with that emotion? Do we let it paralyze us? Do we let it drive our emotions? Do we let it drive the way we think, the way we act? Or do we fight it? Do we go to God and we ask for His help in overcoming our fears? And here's the main point I want to leave you with in my time this morning. With faith in God, we can overcome our fears. Fear is an interesting thing because at times we might think that it wakes us up. We might think that when we become afraid, we actually become more alert. Maybe we think our reaction time improves or that it pushes us, it drives us. But not all fear impacts us the same way. There are, of course, different kinds of fear. There's a fear that can be paralyzing and overwhelming, something maybe more physical. But there's also a different kind of fear that can cause grief or cause concern in our lives. If we think about fear that is more physical or paralyzing, science actually shows some very interesting physical impacts. Northwestern University Medicine has this to say about what happens in our minds when we experience fear. They said this: fear is experienced in your mind, but it triggers a strong physical reaction in your body. As soon as you recognize fear, your amygdala, the small organ in the middle of your brain, goes to work. It alerts your nervous system, which sets your body's fear response into motion. Stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline are released. Your blood pressure and your heart rate increase. You start breathing faster. Your blood pressure and heart rate increase. As some parts of your brain are revving up, they say, others are shutting down. When the amygdala senses fear, the cerebral cortex, which is the area of the brain that harnesses your reasoning and your judgment, becomes impaired. So now it's difficult to make good decisions or to even think clearly. You would think that if you were afraid, your brain would jump into high speed, start thinking better, faster, more efficiently. But what we actually see is that fear negatively impacts our judgment and decision-making abilities. On top of that, fear has additional impacts to our physical bodies. The potential effects of chronic fear on physical health include headaches turning into migraines, muscle aches turning into fibromyalgia, body aches turning into chronic pain, and difficulty breathing turning into asthma. Other symptoms of fear can include feeling unsteady and dizzy, feeling like you're choking, a pounding heart, palpitations, or an accelerated heart rate. It includes chest pain, tightness of the chest, sweating, hot and cold flashes, or shortness of breath. So just on a basic physical level, we know that fear does not help us. So if for no other reason than for our own physical health, we should see that fear is not a good thing for us to carry around in our lives. But there is, of course, so much more than just the physical benefit of pushing fear out. From a spiritual perspective, our faith and trust in God should push fear out of our lives. Let's dive into God's Word as we consider this topic of fear and overcoming it. Let's begin by considering what God's Word tells us. What are we told not to fear? Let's turn to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, we'll pick it up in verse 1. It's easy in our own human physical existence to feel like we have to rely on ourselves for all of our protection, all of our deliverance in times of trouble. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. You know, David was in a very dangerous place at this time. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would bound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? If our trust and confidence in protecting ourselves is in our own abilities, we will eventually fall short. We need God's protection. We need God's protection at all times. And I'm confident that there are times that God has protected me, and I look back on the situation, I can clearly see God's protection. But I'm also confident that there have been times where God's protected me, and I didn't even realize that he was protecting me. There are so many things that can happen. How many times do you think you've been driving home from work or school or church, maybe at night after a party, and the car next to you, that driver was probably impaired for one reason or another, or distracted, or both? There aren't too many things that make me realize how much I need God's protection more than driving in Atlanta traffic. And you might feel the same way. We don't know how many drivers right next to us may be impaired for some reason or completely distracted by something else going on in the vehicle. One vehicle makes a mistake or a wrong decision and it could impact us in a heartbeat. Now, I could let that thought paralyze me. I could let it hold me back. I could let it prevent me from coming to church. I could let it prevent me from going to work. Or I could pray to God and ask for His protection. I can have confidence that God is able to protect me and my family while I'm driving. And know that, as David said here in Psalm 56, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, I will put my trust. Trust and confidence in God's power, in His protection, can help overcome fear in our lives. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. You don't have to strengthen yourself. You can rely on God. You can ask God for strength. You can rely on His strength. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now you have to do it on your own. It's not God telling Israel, well, you've got it. You don't need me. You can take care of yourself. I've taught you enough. I've given you all the tools you need to take care of yourself. Go be self-sufficient. No, God here telling Israel and telling us, I am with you. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we have the Creator and Sustainer of life protecting us, what do we need to fear? What do we need to fear? Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 5. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Over and over again, we're reminded throughout the Scriptures that if God is on our side, we don't need to live in fear. When the Almighty is protecting us, what can human beings do to me? Matthew chapter 6. Let's see what else we're told not to fear. Certainly for our own physical protection, we're told not to fear. We're told to trust in God. What else? Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There is a lot we could say about that passage. I think one important component of overcoming and pushing fear out in our lives is this. What perspective are we using to view our lives? What perspective are we using to view our lives? It is so easy to get caught up in the physical. That's what we live in today. We are living in a physical body, in a physical world. It is so easy to get caught up in focusing only on our physical lives and to forget that our calling and our destiny is so much more than physical life. And what happens when we get hyper-focused on the physical problems we have, as we just read, Christ tells us, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? The worry and the fear won't fix the problem for us. The worry and the fear won't change the problem for us. The fear doesn't help us think clearly or resolve the problem. But God loves us, and He will take care of our needs if we put our trust and faith and confidence in Him and not in ourselves. If we put our priorities in the proper order, God will provide for us. And this is a constant battle we need to fight to win. Mr. Winter did the Bible study this week down our way in Conyers, and I think he probably did the same Bible study he's done in the other areas as of late. And he started by asking the question, well, what are the biggest things that we're battling in our lives today? And of course, there was a long list of things that people said. You know, what are the things in this world that they're fighting against? But one of the things for me that's a battle is managing all the responsibilities that I have as a husband, as a parent, keeping up with priorities and putting them in the right order. And that's one aspect of what Christ is emphasizing here in Matthew 6. Keep the correct perspective and priorities in your life. Remember that our primary goal must be seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we do that, a number of things happen. First, God will provide our needs. Second, our thought process and the way we view this world will change. It will change dramatically when we're focused first on the big picture and not hyper-focused on just what's in front of us. The minor things that happen to us day to day will not seem like mountains if our priorities are in the right order. We can view them and react to them in the proper context and with the proper mindset. Putting our priorities in line is a huge part of pushing fear out of our lives. The knowledge and the understanding that we have is powerful if we embrace it. Now, can we overcome fear all on our own? Is it just up to us? Can we do it by ourselves? UC Davis Health out of California released a study, and it concluded in their study that almost 1 in 3 Americans, almost 33%, struggle with an anxiety disorder. Not just what they term normal or typical amounts of fear and concern. They acknowledge that there are normal levels of fear and concern that everyone experiences. But they concluded that almost 1 in 3 in the U.S. struggle with anxiety disorders, anxiety that doesn't go away, that negatively impacts relationships and work. Did God create us with the intent that we would live with constant fear and anxiety? I think we see clearly that He did not. He does not want us to live a life of fear. This world needs God's help. We need God's help. We need God's instructions. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When we turn ourselves over to God, it changes our entire lives. It changes our thinking, it changes our actions, it changes our perspective. When we love God, when we love Christ, we live according to their instructions. And when we're called and when we repent and when we're baptized, and through the laying on of hands, we receive God's Holy Spirit, we have the very power of God living in us. And when we have God's Holy Spirit in us, that should drastically change our mindset compared to how we lived previously without God's Holy Spirit. It should help create a peace in our lives so that we are free from fear and anxiety that is so prevalent in the rest of the world. We need God's Word. We need His instructions. We need the power of His Holy Spirit. And we need faith and confidence in Him. I think it is probably incredibly, incredibly difficult for people to overcome fear and anxiety on their own, apart from God and apart from the power of His Holy Spirit. And Christ ends by saying, "Not as the world gives, do I give." When someone in the world says, "Peace be unto you," well, that was a polite formality. It was like saying, "Have a good day." It's often said in passing as a polite courtesy, but that's not what Christ is doing here. He wasn't saying, "Well, just peace be unto you." It wasn't a polite saying. It wasn't a trite saying. The peace that Christ is offering is real, true peace. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have real, true peace. Not a passing, contrite saying that the world might say. Not a formality. This is real, true peace we can have in our lives. So that when people see us, when they interact with us, they can see in our actions and our words that we have true peace. That we don't react to situations the same way everybody else does. Because our perspective is different. What we think about is different. The way we view the world is different. We're not controlled by fear because whatever happens, we know God loves us. We know He cares for us, and we know He will always do what's best for us in perfect timing. So if we want to overcome fear in our lives, we need God's help. I don't believe that it's easy or simple to overcome it on our own. We need God's Holy Spirit working in us. So what does that tell us about where our focus needs to be? Well, of course, our focus should be on the big picture, making it into God's kingdom. When we lose focus on that overarching goal, we can allow the smaller fears that are not as significant to get in our way. Rosa Parks had this to say about fear. She said, "I have learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this diminishes fear. Knowing what must be done does away with fear." I love this quote because I think that it is in line with what we see in God's Word. When we know God's way of life, when we know God's instructions, when we know we must live by them, when we know what must be done, I believe that this is another way that we can overcome fear in our lives. Psalm 119. I believe one thing that can bring about fear is indecisiveness or, you know, an uneasiness or not knowing the right thing to do or the right decision to make. But understanding what God has instructed us, understanding what we must do, can help push fear out of our lives. Psalm 119 and verse 164. "Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you." There is great peace in our lives when we know what to do, when we know the instructions that God has given us, when we know how we are to live, when we know how to live God's way of life and we do it and practice it, when we hope in and have faith in and trust in God's power and His comfort and the safety that He promises us, we can have great peace in our lives. Now, let me transition a little bit. Are there things we should fear? Is there anything that God fears? Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that I'm aware of where it says that God fears something specifically. Of course, we know that we must fear God. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, and we know that that topic in and by itself could be an entire sermon, and it has been for us in the past. Fearing God with the proper reverence and respect is vital for our spiritual growth and development. But I'm not going to get into that in my topic in my time this morning, but I do want to bring something else out. 2 Corinthians verse 11. As we ask this question, is there anything that we should fear? Or perhaps we could even ask, is there anything that God fears? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, so this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians here, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So here Paul is telling the church in Corinth that he has a fear or a concern that some of those in the congregation might be deceived. That if somebody comes and they preach a different Jesus that sounds easier, sounds more fun, or sounds nicer, is more in line with the world, that there's a possibility that they might turn away from the truth that he's preached, that he received from God and from Christ. He feared that someone could come in and preach a different gospel and a different Jesus, that in some in the congregation would be pulled away from the truth. Now, certainly, this doesn't say that God fears us leaving the church. But I believe that God inspired Paul to write this and inspired it to be written for our instructions and our admonition. We know that God is our Father. We know that he loves us. And we are his little children. And I believe God has the same feeling toward us that Paul is describing here. It's not a paralyzing fear. It's not that I'm trying to say that God's laying around, wringing his hands, just really worried that we're going to leave. But I do believe that God is so sad when somebody walks away from his truth. I believe he loves us. And he wants us to follow him, to trust him, to put our confidence in him. And I believe he is grieved if anyone turns away from his truth and is deceived by false doctrine. And I think this is also something we should be on guard for. Again, not a paralyzing fear, not a fear that runs our daily lives, but it's something that we should remember that that's why we need to study. That's why we need to do our Bible study. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be at services. That's why we need to uplift each other. So that we're constantly strengthening each other so that we don't ever get pulled away from God's truth. Will we need fear in the future? Will we need fear in the future? In our world today, there are many things we could fear if we allowed ourselves to. Many people in our country are struggling with fear and anxiety. But is that what God intended for mankind? Will that be the case in the future? Let's read a prophetic scripture about the future and see if there will be any fear under God's government. Let's turn to Micah. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. No one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Right now, In today's world, people live according to their own standards. You can live whatever life you want to and be accepted for it. And in today's world, be praised for it. In the world around us, as we see in verse 5, people walk each in the name of his God. People make all kinds of things their God. Money, power, prestige, fame, fortune, greed, drugs, promiscuity, the list goes on and on and on. Even having our children involved in sports, some family makes sports their God. That's what they spend all their time on, that's what they spend all their money on, that's the complete focus. Many people are completely consumed by seeking their own pleasures. But what's the outcome? What's the fruit of making those things your God? Well, I think we look around and we can clearly see. Anxiety, fear, worry. Anxiety disorders affecting nearly 1 in 3 Americans. That's a staggering number of people dealing with fear and anxiety on a daily basis. God did not intend for us to live in fear and worry. We can see that clearly throughout the Bible. Verse after verse encourages us not to fear, but not because of our own power, not because of our own might, not because of our own ability, but because of our faith and confidence in God. In the future, in God's kingdom, there will be no more fear. When God is in charge and everyone is living according to God's way of life, there will be no need to fear or worry or have anxiety. And we can strive to build that same mindset in our lives today. By focusing on living God's way of life, by focusing on building our faith and confidence in God and in His promises and in His power and in His love for us, we can learn and grow in our confidence and our assurance in Him and in His power. In his inauguration speech in 1933, President Franklin Roosevelt gave a powerful speech to a nation that was in the middle of a Great Depression. This speech has been quoted countless times since then. And in that speech, President Roosevelt famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." President Roosevelt was encouraging our nation to realize that fear can hold us back. But if we can push through and overcome our fears, we can accomplish great things. Fortunately, we don't have to overcome our fears on our own. We can look to God for His help in overcoming fears. If we put our trust and faith in God, He will help us to overcome our fears through the power of His Holy Spirit working in our lives. As a final scripture, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever." Let's put our trust and our confidence in Him and be not afraid.